So we're going to start by reading. I'm reading from Luke chapter 12, verse 22 onwards. Turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear, for life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any bird. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies. See how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows what you need. Seek his kingdom first, above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom." So if God, it says, if God cares so wonderfully for the flowers, then how much more does he care for you and me? He already knows what we need, and he will make sure that we have everything that we need. And then it says it gives him great happiness to give us not just what we need, but also to give us the kingdom. And what's the kingdom? We're told, aren't we, that it's not just food and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God cares about our deepest needs as well as our practical needs. He helps us with those as well, but he cares about our deepest needs and he provides for them. And perhaps our deepest need is to know that we are loved by God himself. But we need to know love, don't we, in our lives, that we're accepted and that we're wanted and we're cherished. And it can't be any more wonderful than to know that we are loved like that by God, our Father. Jesus prayed in John 17, and it says this: "I'm not praying just for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe through their message." So he's praying for you and me. "And I pray that they will all be one, just as you, Father, and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. That they may be in us, so that the world will believe. I've given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me," and here we go, "and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you've given to me to be with me where I am, so that they can see all the glory that you gave me because you loved me. Righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know that you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me, and which is in me, will be in them. And I will be in them." The love that God had for Jesus is the same as the love he has for me. Jesus related to God as a father who loved him and cared for him. And that is the relationship that we too can have with God our Father. Father God loves me and cares for me. He loves you and he cares for you with the same love that he loved Jesus with. And we're going to look quickly, briefly this morning, because we've got to move on a bit, how good Father is, God is to us. And we're going to look at it three ways: as a Father in a general sense to all, how that God is a good God, and finally how he's a trustworthy God. I thought about talking about this really because it's Father's Day, like, you know, sort of idea, and I tried to find a funny story about Father's Days and stuff like that, but I didn't find one. But I did find a fun and amusing little story that I'm just going to share in a minute, slightly aside. But a young child went up to the visiting speaker at the end of the service, and he said to the visiting speaker, "When I get a bit older, I'm going to give you lots of money." I said, "Well, thank you very much, but why would you do that?" He said, "Because my dad said you're the poorest speaker we've ever had." So if anybody wants to slip me 10p later, I know what you're really saying. Anyway, sorry. First of all, God is Father to all, isn't he? He is Father in the sense that he fathers forth all things. One time there was nothing, and God spoke, and all things came into being. He is the creator. He is the source from which life itself comes from. Without him, we cease to exist. We're told in, if I can find it, sorry, I'm a bit all over the place today, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, "I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things." And it goes on to give him a, "He who is blessed, the only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, he who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, who no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion." He is God, and he fathers forth all things. In him we live and move and have our being. I've been listening to a song, Matt's been listening to it as well recently, but part of the song goes, there's a line in it that says, "It's not about what you have, but where you store it," referring to what Jesus has said in Luke, really. And then it goes on to say, "Breathe in, breathe out." Who makes that happen? For we all forget sometimes. And just that sense of, you know, we gaily get on with life and sometimes forget our Father God. God alone is the Father of life to all of humanity. Without his breath, nothing would exist. And what's so amazing is that we sang about it earlier, that without, that God so loved the world that he gave us his only son, Jesus. Not just to us, to the world. He gave it to the world so that we might come into a relationship with him. Through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we can know forgiveness of sins and the fullness of life. We can come to know the Almighty God as a living Father, a loving Father, well, unliving. And Romans 8 tells us, doesn't it, that all of us who are being led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For we have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear, but we've received a spirit of adoption by which we can cry out, "Abba, Father." And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are his children. So God is Father to all in a general sense, but to us, as we come to know him and find him, he becomes a loving Father in a relationship that we can have with him, where we can know our sins forgiven, we can know peace and security in him. Secondly, he's a good God. He only wants the best for us. Problem is that we all have stuff that goes on in our lives or in the lives of those whom we love that seemingly puts us at odds with that idea. With the idea that God is good and only wants the best for us. Sometimes we feel that it's more like God is against us or punishing us. Getting me back for the way I fall short or something like that. This is not true. God isn't like that. He doesn't come upon us in his fierce anger. For he says, I am God, not man. I am the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come upon you in wrath. Rather, he takes our sin and suffering upon himself. And Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, so that on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The truth is that God is not against us. He is against sin and all its consequences. And in the end, if we don't turn from our sin or repent, which is of our sin, which at its root is denying God his rightful place in our life, then we shall find no place for us in his kingdom. But in the here and now, Jesus tells us that God causes the sun in the sky to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. And it rains on the good and the evil. That's the other way round, I think, actually, isn't it? It's the sun on the good and the evil and the rain on the... But it's the same point. Yes, through our disobedience, our sin and all its consequences are at loose in this fallen world. It's bad things that happen. It's a broken world. But God is at work. And he wishes good for all and longs for all men to be saved. He loves us. He is for us. And thirdly, he is trustworthy. He is constant. He doesn't wake up one day in a good mood and another day in a bad mood. In fact, the psalmist tells us he never ever sleeps or slumbers, but he keeps constant watch over us so that we won't slip or fall. He keeps us from evil. He guards our going out and our coming in. He is constantly on the lookout for us, not wanting us to stumble or go through stuff. He cares for us. And he is absolutely constant in his care. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him alone who does great wonders, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And this whole song goes on and on for the whole 26 verses, giving thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. His loving kindness towards you, towards me, is everlasting. The truth is that, as we began by saying, God does not treat us as our sins demand. We sing that, don't we, about that, for who then could ever stand? But it's also true that he doesn't bless us and favour us because we are good. Because we have prayed a lot today and read our Bible ceaselessly for a few hours, God doesn't love us more that day because of that. We cannot earn the favour of God. It's just that when we turn to him, we find that he is a loving father who delights in giving his children good gifts, and especially the Holy Spirit. He is constant in his love towards us. He's taken all of our sin and our suffering upon himself in Jesus. And he longs for us to respond to that and to understand that if we come to him, he is a good God who forgives us our sins and blesses us with joy, peace, and righteousness. So, Father God is the Father to all men. He's particularly Father in a relationship to those who turn to him from their sins and trust in him. He gives us his Spirit that touches our spirit and tells us and assures us that we are his children. And he's good and trustworthy in all his ways towards us. And you might be sat there thinking, well, okay, but why am I going through what I'm going through then? Or why is this happening to me? Or that it seems to me that God, you know. God takes us and lets us go through things and uses them to change us, to draw us nearer to him. Bad things don't come from God. They're here because of sin and because it's a broken, fallen, messed up world. And like we said earlier, good things happen to good and bad people, and bad things happen to good and bad people. But you can trust God, because he gave, when he sent Jesus, Jesus went through all those sorts of things that we sometimes think that, oh, is God against me if I'm going through this and that and the other. Jesus suffered. He was betrayed, he was isolated, he was left alone, he was pierced for our transgressions. He sweated blood in the garden, and even there he if I don't have to take this cup, but not my will, your will be done. So Jesus went through similar sorts of stuff that we go through. And yet he knew that his Father was good and constant and true. And so we too can know that, because not only did he suffer and die, but he rose again from the dead to show how great God is. Got a song, Rich. I think we're going to listen to a song. I think I've said what I want to say, really. He's a good God who loves us, and he is with us in our trials and tribulations. He longs for us to trust him and to know that when we come to him, he only has our good in his heart.
Let's just pray as we finish. Lord and God, thank you that how we've been able to celebrate you as Father today, and consider that you are perfect in all of your ways. And Lord, as we go into the week and as we go forward, and we sometimes question what's going on, give us a real sense of peace in knowing that then the truth of that whatever comes before us and whatever is around, you're there, you're in control, and you're watching over us as a good Father. And Lord, if we're still searching, still unsure about who you are and what it means to follow you, help us to understand something more of that through today, through the week ahead, and show us something of who you are and your glory. Father, we pray again for members of our church family who are away in different situations and different needs, whether it's holidaying, whether it's work, whether it's unwell. Be with them and just support them where they are today, Lord. And we pray to you for Eunice, as we've heard from her today in her work. Encourage her through being here with us today. Encourage her in your work, and challenge us in our service for you too, through hearing from what she does. So, Father, we commit these things and our time to you in your name. Amen.